Congressman Glenn Grothman is with us this morning. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Glad to be on the show. It's a little bit of a surprise that I'm still in Washington this Friday, but we still have some work to get done.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Washington, D.C. these days. Let's start off with Israel launching missiles at Iran. Your thoughts on that?
As I understand it, it was a limited number of missiles, and I think it was something they felt they had to do, but it's not enough missiles where we are trying to have an all-out war. So I thought the significance was not that they launched missiles, but that it was a small amount of missiles.
So you think those were strategic strikes then?
Right, right, right. And I actually think a week ago when all these missiles were shot by Iran, they apparently tipped off people so they knew it was coming, which makes me feel the Iranian missiles that preceded this were also not an effort to kill as many Israelis as possible. It was just to quiet their own people who wanted Iran to do something, or at least their radicals wanted Iran to do something. So I think both countries do not want to escalate the war. And the thing you have to remember that I don't think has been well publicized, right now 70,000 to 80,000 Israelis in northern Israel are not able to go home at night because of missiles being shot in from Lebanon. So Israel is going to have to eventually spend a great amount of time and money invading southern Lebanon. And if they're going to invade southern Lebanon, they don't have time to deal with Iran.
Okay. All right. Well, we needed a little bit of an interpretation on that because people hear that and their fears are, well, here comes World War III. So, you know.
Well, they're taking care of Hamas without World War III, and I think they'll take care of the southern half of Lebanon without World War III as well. You understand Israel just can't sit there and have 80,000 people who can't go home at night because missiles are being shot out of southern Lebanon by Hezbollah.
All right. That being said, the Rules Committee last night pushed through a package of bills for foreign aid, possibly for Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan. That's one of the reasons that you're in Washington this weekend. Tell us about that.
Right. Right. It's disappointing that they're moving ahead with these without getting the border solved, because that was number one. And to be honest, it's no secret. We were promised that we would not take up a Ukraine foreign aid bill until we had dealt with the southern border. By not dealing with the southern border today, and we'll pass bills, but they're bills we know won't be taken up in the Senate. By not taking care of it, it means we're really going to have to wait for a new president to stop this flood of people across the southern border, which is ridiculous. Joe Biden, so your listeners understand, Joe Biden could solve this problem tomorrow, right? He could use his emergency powers to close the border. He could reinstitute a stay-in-Mexico policy, and instead of having, whatever, 220,000 people crossing the border every month, you'd have 10 or 12,000 people crossing the month. But because Joe Biden wants as many people here as quickly as possible, we're going to have to wait until January to do something here. And like I said, Joe Biden could solve this problem overnight, just as he created the problem overnight. When Joe Biden took office, there were about 10,000 people crossing the border every month. Now, depending on the month, we're 200,000 to 300,000. All he's got to do is reinstitute President Trump's policy, boom, back to about 10,000. So he's trying to change America.
What do we do about the legal immigrants that are already in the country, though?
Well, I think we can institute what they call E-Verify, and if they can't get more money, they will return, just as they have returned in the past when their job runs out. So it's not an impossible thing. I talked to Steve Miller, who is President Trump's kind of right-hand advisor on the border, and he certainly felt that there are things they could do to cause people to self-deport, not have to round them up physically, because it would be hard to round up physically 3 million people. But if you create a situation where they're not able to get money when they're here, I think that'll solve part of the problem. Plus, you got to remember, there are these non-governmental organizations or nonprofits that are sometimes allowing these people to live quite well in hotels, provide them with food, other things, and they have to be cut off as well.
We'd like to get your thoughts on the Senate dismissing the articles of impeachment against the Homeland Security chief, if we could.
It's not surprising. I think it was good that he was impeached in the House. Hopefully we educated more people how horrible the Biden administration policies are. It's disappointment they couldn't get any Democrats to disagree with the Senate, but not surprising. But hopefully in the court of history, we have done a better job of forcing the historians to document what a horrible Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas is.
All right. One of the topics we've covered with you before has to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion. What's the latest?
Well, I have signed on to a bill trying to get these things out of the universities across the board, but I also spoke on the floor this morning. Another disturbing trend, so the public realizes why they shouldn't like this stuff. There are an increasing, apparently, number of universities who are having separate graduation ceremonies. They're voluntary, but separate graduation ceremonies for people by different race or sex, or that sort of thing. Now, the whole purpose of DEI, in my opinion, is to destroy America, right? America's supposed to be a melting pot. People come from all over the globe, and all of a sudden you're no longer French or Cameroon or Paraguayan. All of a sudden you're American. And there are people who want you to forever walk around with a chip on your shoulder and say, I'm a Brazilian, I'm an Egyptian, whatever. And one way they do that in the university is having separate graduation ceremonies. It's the type of thing I will certainly ask any of my state legislators I run into in the next budget to put something in there and put an end to this insofar as it's happening at the University of Wisconsin system, and certainly anybody else out there who is on a board of regents or even in business. If they run a business that is operating these ridiculous programs in which you break out people by race, to end those programs. But it is an example why so many of us dislike this DEI stuff, be it in academia or be it in the business world or be it in government. You are teaching people that they should forever view themselves primarily as a hyphenated American, Arab American, Asian American, Latin American, what have you. And they're expensive. Expensive for business, expensive of government, expensive for academia to hire these parasites as well.
All right. The House Speaker, Mike Johnson, has kind of been under fire lately. Do you think he'll weather the storm?
I think he had meetings last night. I think he will hang around. I think if he hangs around with Democrat votes, that'll be a complete embarrassment to the Republican Party. But if you don't have virtual unanimous support for him, that's what's going to happen. I'm very disappointed in Mike that he didn't shut down part of the government to try to close the border. But he's the guy who's been elected. He was elected after other members of the House rejected four people with more seniority than him to kick him out. He is a very good, honest person. And B, there's nobody else lined up to take the job. It was a big problem when we got rid of Kevin McCarthy, who had, I don't know, 20 years experience or something, and went to Mike, who only had 8 years experience. He's learning the job. There's certain small things that I see him doing better now than he would 6 months ago. And the last thing we need is to have a new speaker in training in the middle of this election year. Not to mention, like I said, when Mike got there, there were four other speakers who were rejected. I don't know if he gets kicked out, if you're ever going to find 218 out of, say, 220 or whatever we have here, Republicans to agree on the same guy.
Is this the last weekend for Congressman Gallagher?
Right. It was disappointing that he left. He said it was for family reasons. You know, and I think family is very important. I don't know what those specific reasons are. It would have been nice if he could have hung around for the remainder of a year. It's easier to do this job if you don't have to worry about re-election. And but for whatever reason, he apparently felt his family, and we have to trust him, I guess, that his family wanted him home and not spending time in Washington.
Well, we have to wrap things up. You make it back to Wisconsin this weekend. Any stops along the way? Your plan?
Well, we have some Republican events, both in Columbia County and Dodge County. I'll be there on Sunday. We plan on being at a lot more things, but I'm not going to be able to get back until either late on Saturday night or early on Sunday morning.
Well, Congressman Grothman, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Appreciate your time.
Glad to be on the show, as always.
That is Congressman Glenn Grothman, who represents the 6th Congressional District here in the state of Wisconsin. We appreciate him joining us this morning.